Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. When the COVID shutdown occurred last March, Tulsa Ballet was preparing for the American premiere of Anabel Lopez Ochoa's Vendetta. The company, like everything else in the city, shut down. The company's costumers switched from stitching costumes to making masks. But over the past 7 months, the company has worked with an infectious disease doctor to figure out how to dance and perform safely. As a result, among the first pieces the ballet will perform this weekend in a new production is a new work by Ochoa, Limoncello, an apt metaphor for 2020 when you have a lemon, make limoncello. Creations Reimagined will be a hybrid in-person virtual performance at the company's Studio K, which will feature a new state-of-the-art HVAC system akin to a hospital facility. While the 20-odd performances are sold out for Tulsa Ballet patrons, attendance limited 30 in the 300-seat facility, they will live stream three performances for the public, Friday, November 6th at 8 o'clock, Saturday, November 14th at 3, and Sunday, November 22nd at 5 p.m. Creations Reimagined will feature new works by Ochoa, Yuri Yanofsky, and Tulsa Ballet's resident choreographer, Ma Kong, all of which were choreographed remotely. Artistic director Marcello Angelini describes the process to return to dance as safely as possible and with precautions to protect company and patrons alike. He joins me as my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Marcello Angelini, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Always a pleasure.
You know, performing arts organizations have had various difficulties in figuring out how to do their work during COVID-19. And perhaps surprising of all, it's Tulsa Ballet doing what looks to be fairly normal ballet performances this weekend. Tell us about the precautions you've taken and how are you able to do this hybrid in-person virtual performance?
Well, I mean, the performances are kind of normal, but really there is nothing normal about them. I mean, we went through a long process of reimagining how to safely reopen, and safely for our dancers, for our staff, and for our patrons. I believe that dance is the most at-risk art form to go back to the stage, because after all, we can't perform 6 feet apart. Well, now we are, but there is no ballet choreographed during the past 200 years where dancers were 6 feet apart. Obviously, we breathe very hard and we breathe on each other's face. Even just the training and the setting of the ballets is quite impossible based on the rules of prior to March 16th. We had to reimagine everything. I mean, I still remember it will be drilled and etched in stone in my mind, the day of March 16th, 2000, which was the last time we did a run-through of Vendetta, Mafia Story, mm-hmm. a ballet that was supposed to open in 10 days, and then on March 17th, we shut down, and that was it for the next 5 months. We brought everybody back in September, and the dancers started back on September 28th, but it has been very difficult, very challenging, and I'm so happy that we are where we are. Now, back to your question, how did we do it? The first thing we did, we hired an infectious disease physician, Dr. Jaggers. She's phenomenal, and our conversations usually start with, "You are not going to like what I'm going to say." And true enough, you know, I never liked what she has to say. She told us from the beginning, the only way you can safely return to work is to divide the company in pods, right. Which means groups of 8 dancers maximum. They have to work in different spaces. They can never interchange spaces, intermingle between the groups inside and outside the building. And you should not bring anybody in. Oh, and by the way, you need to stay 6 feet apart when you dance unless people cohabitate outside work. And so based on this framework, we had to imagine what we could do. As of today, we are working in pods of 8 dancers. We have 4 pods of 8 dancers. Each one of them works in a different studio. They can have up to 1 or 2 ballet masters, ballet mistresses in the studio. We cannot bring in choreographers, and we are all connected via video conference. So, for example, you start the day the dancers come in. Well, they don't have access to the dressing rooms. We don't want people to stay in the same space for too long. So they come dressed from home. They will get into the studio, and then we start class. But class is taught in one studio with one person in that studio, and everybody else is learning the combination and doing them in different studios, watching the big TVs that we had to buy for every studio. Now what we learned, what I experimented with, I run from one studio to the other. I probably do a couple of miles every time I teach class, and then for 2 days I can't even walk. And that's just to get ready for rehearsal. As far as rehearsals, we don't want to bring choreographers in. This is not safe for them. It's not safe for us. So we are experimenting with creating new works via teleconference. And it has to be new works because right now there is nothing we can do, nothing in the past repertory, in the past 200 years, that we can actually perform based on the distance and safety and the fact that we're wearing masks. I mean, we are dancing with face coverings, and we will be dancing with face coverings even in performance.
Wow.
And so I learned a couple of weeks ago that we are the only company in this country, as far as I know, that has experimented with creating new works via video conference. But the works are phenomenal. All three of them that we are premiering this weekend are just as good, if not even better, than the works that we create every year. One of them, Annabel Lopez Ochoa's new work, has been choreographed 4,619 miles away from our headquarters. I entered her address in Amsterdam and our address in Tulsa, and the distance is 4,619 miles. Not to mention, you know, they are 7 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
So Annabelle will start rehearsing at 6:30 p.m. her time, and she will finish sometimes at 11 o'clock at midnight. It's amazing. But again, she is, thank God, a night person. She's at 1 o'clock, we have a teleconference after rehearsal, 1 o'clock in the morning, and she's up and drinking wine and full of energy. And then the other work by Yuri Yanovsky has been choreographed from Boston. The only one that is in town that is actually allowed in the studio is Makong.
And apparently he's doing a video thing with Richmond Ballet.
Absolutely. I mean, we didn't want to make it too easy for Makong. You know, if everybody else suffers, he has to suffer too. But also keep in mind that Makong is in one studio. There are three more studios going on at the same time. So while he has the luxury of choreographing on a group of dancers, instead of looking in on the screen of his computer and saying, the person that is back there, can you move 3 inches more there, and can you kick the right leg? He's in the studio with one group, but he's also looking at another three groups in another three studios that are learning the same ballet. So
wow.
He still has to correct them and give them notes and feedback from the TV.
I'd like to get into a little more of that rehearsal process in a moment, but before you even reopened your studios to dancers, you installed, I guess, a state-of-the-art filtering system, so you're sort of removing air from the studio to count, you know, whatever viral loads could be possibly out there. You've done a lot of steps to ensure the dancers, because, you know, from my own experience playing in the orchestra for the ballet, the ballet dancers have this wonderful look when they're on stage. As I can look off into the wings, as soon as they're off, you can see them just gasping for air. And I just imagine that's sort of dangerous in this day and age.
Yes. I mean, one of the requirements to get back in the studio, both from Dr. Jaggers and from us, from management, was to update our HVAC system. And so we installed basically the same kind of system that they have in hospitals and in the COVID wings of the hospitals.
Wow.
So that the air is constantly cleaned. And that's very important, not only for the dancers, because they spend a lot of time in the studio, but also for our patrons. We are going to start performing this weekend, and I'd like to stress the fact that we will be at 10% capacity. Studio K can sit 300 people. We are going to do performances for 30 people. And we are requiring everybody to wear a face covering, not only the dancers, but also the patrons. But now, the dancers, obviously, they can't interchange studios. They work in the same studio all the time. what happens when they are on stage? Well, we can give 20 minutes, a half an hour between each piece for the stage to air up. And so we upgraded our system so that the sanitizing element happens within 7-8 minutes. And that's a manageable time between the different pieces, because we will have videos playing of filmed that show the process of creating those works and even the process of fitting costumes on the dancers in order to put them on stage. And so this system has helped us a lot, and is going to help a lot also with the confidence of our patrons, because while they are sitting in the audience, they know that the air is continuously filtered and is actually sanitized before it comes back to them.
Now, what you are doing for your performance is sort of doing a hybrid in-person virtual performance. There'll be, I guess, performances this weekend for 30 patrons, a program, and then you'll be doing live streams throughout the rest of the month.
Well, actually, we're going to do 26 performances for our patrons.
Okay. Oh, wow.
26, absolutely. But even with 26 performances, we can only serve what, 750 people, 800 people at the most. And so in order to serve all our subscribers and the people that want to see this program, then we are going to live stream it three times, three different weekends, so that people have a choice of when they want to see it, and they can just watch it from their home.
Those dates are Friday, November 6th at 8 o'clock, Saturday, November 14th at 3 p.m., and Sunday, November 22nd at 5 p.m. Well, let's get into the rehearsal process, because I imagine that really took a lot of reimagining. Your program's called Creations Reimagined, and I can't just imagine any more reimagination than the choreographic process. My guest today is Marcello Angelini, Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director. Tulsa Ballet returns to performance with a hybrid in-person virtual performances, Creations Reimagined, October 30th all the way through November 22nd at Studio K. I assume your infectious disease doctor has signed off on your practices, so it'll be as safe as possible for patrons.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk a little about the rehearsal process. Obviously, these pieces, if you are distancing 6 feet during the performance, there are no pas de deux, pas de dix. There's none of the traditional sort of dancing together things we expect to see in a ballet.
Well, in each pod, we made sure there were couples that are actually living together. Couples that are couples in real life. And so that allowed us to be able to do pas de deux in every single pod. And then there is also one couple, Madeline and Armand. They are our principal dancers. They are mature, they are grown-ups. You know, that they are probably the most mature individuals in the company. And so I talk with them, and they feel very comfortable with each other. They know that they live a very safe life, and so they will be dancing together too. But everybody else, they are not allowed to touch each other.
Mm. So as you went through the rehearsal process, first of all, your choreographers are, even Ma Kong, who's here in town, is on video screens to a number of the dancers. How do they go about creating new work?
Well, you see, the thing is, we put a lot of emphasis in life at thinking outside the box. And I'm not one of those people. I like to see where the confines of the box are and then look at what can be done inside the box. Because for me, dreaming about what can be done outside that box just brings me frustration. And so once we saw what the confines of the box were, we cannot touch each other, we have to stay 6 feet apart, we have to wear face coverings, masks, which means that people can't really dance for 7-8 minutes in a row, otherwise they're going to collapse on stage. The performances need to be fairly short. They can only be 50-55 minutes, because we don't want people to congregate in the lobby. Once this box was created, then I put my own criteria in the pudding, and my criteria is I'm not going to lower the standards of the company and the quality of what we offer, because we are not able to bring choreographers in and people are not able to touch each other and wear masks, absolutely not. And so again, once the box was there, I said, what can I do inside? And that's what we came up. And I think Annabelle named the ballet so wonderfully, because we were talking you know, I asked her, how do you feel about doing a piece from Amsterdam? And at the end of the conversation, she goes, you know what? If life hands you lemons, we're going to make limoncello. And so her piece is called Limoncello because we made limoncello out of lemons.
Well, let me ask you, when in picking these choreographers, I assume most of these choreographers are just not doing a whole lot at this particular point because ballet studios and companies are not working right now. Did you have your choice of choreographers? Did you have to go through a lot of choreographers to figure out somebody who was willing to work in this way? Were they working virtually?
Well, the choreographers we work with are usually very busy, and even in times like these, they are busy. Annabelle is doing a lot of movies, films, dance films. Yuri just took over a company in Boston. So, and Ma, of course, between choreographing for Richmond Ballet and his personal life with young twins, is also very busy. The criteria was very simple. First of all, every choreographer that I called for this particular triple bill had to be one that worked with the company in the past so that they knew the dancers and they knew what they could do. Calling a choreographer that doesn't really know the company to choreograph from, you know, 4,000 miles away is not a very good idea. When it comes to Annabelle, I call her the reset, restart button for the company because she was here in the studio on March 16th. When we did the last run through of Vendetta, and she was locked out with me outside the building on March 17th. And so for me, it made perfect sense that she's the one that, you know, we stop with her and we restart from her. Mm. As for Yuri, Yuri was supposed to do a piece for the main company in the Creation Triple Bill this year. He had done already two pieces for the second company. But most importantly, one of the pods that we put together is composed of dancers, former dancers from the second company that he has worked with, and he knows them very well. And so every pod is first cast in one piece, and the other pods are sort of the second cast and third cast, but the choreographer mainly works on one pod and the others then learn it, and then the choreographers, once they finish their piece, they go to the other pods. Well, in Yuri's circumstances, his pod, his first cast pod, was former TB2 dancers that he knew very well because he worked with them. And so he could choreograph very well and very, very quickly.
I would think most of these choreographers, though, they demonstrate by doing something or they actually move the dancer's body.
Exactly. And even for Makong, not being able to get close to the dancers was a very hard experience. Not to mention the fact that, you know, if you are choreographing remotely, when you look at somebody moving on the other side of the screen, your right side is their left side. and so you have to reverse everything, and the choreographer will show something, and the dancers have to reverse it because she's doing it to the right, but it looks like she's going to the left because everything is opposite in a video. And then, you know, all the computer glitches, the video conference calls being interrupted, the internet dropping. We spent a fortune upgrading our system inside the building. And still every now and then, you know, everything will freeze. And the other day I was teaching class for the company, and I have a pianist from Italy that plays for me from Italy. Because while I'm teaching class for two groups, two studios, two pods, Daniela is teaching, or Alfonso or Susan, they're teaching in the other studio for two pods. And so my pianist is in Italy. Their pianist this year is Andrew, our principal pianist. And the video froze, and, you know, at a certain point we had to stop and continue class without music because the internet just dropped. So it has been challenging all the way, and also for the dancers. But I have to say they have been wonderful, and the process of creating those works has been so refreshing. There is a different atmosphere in the studio. I think we all realize that we are very lucky to be in this business. We are very lucky to make a living doing something we absolutely love. We realize that we are doing something special also for this community, for our community, for the people that come to see us. And so just the energy in the studios, in the building, has been very, very different.
My guest today is Marcello Angelini, Tulsa Ballet's artistic director. Tulsa Ballet will return to live performance this weekend and actually through the month of November with a new program of new pieces titled Creations Reimagined, with performances October 30th through November 22nd, but they'll be doing it at Studio K, and the audience will be limited to 30 people out of the 300-seat theater, but there will also be virtual performances through the month, scheduled through the month, and you can learn more at TulsaBallet.org. We'll talk about the three pieces, well, actually it's four pieces that are being created, and you'll have to explain that as well, but if you would, talk in some detail about what these choreographers have created for the Tulsa Ballet dancers.
Well, again, Annabelle's idea was that we have lemons and we are making limoncello, so the dancers are actually dancing with lemons on stage. We had this conversation, and that I thought she was kidding, and you know, we had a very good laugh. And the next day, I walk in the studio, and everybody's dancing with lemons. But her piece is usually so smart, so clever, so entertaining, so refined, full of energy. It's really a reflection of who this woman is, and the woman that Point Magazine calls the most sought-after female choreographer in the world. When it comes to Yuri, Yuri does phenomenal work with movement and energy. And the reason that I chose him for this program is that I wanted an opening piece, something that would just say, hello, we are back. And so his piece is quirky, is fast, is exciting, is fresh, is young, is the perfect piece to open the program. And of course, Ma had to do something dramatic, very, very deep, very full of intensity, and so his piece will be in the middle of the program. Now, this is going to be different from what we're going to do in December, because we're now starting to program and plan on what to do for December. And I can tell you, before everybody else knows, that we are going to be at the Cox Business Center in the brand new ballroom, which normally seats up to 5,200 people. We are going to limit it to 450 people. We are going to build a big stage, and we are going to do a very holiday-oriented performance. We are going to call it the Lost Nutcracker, because this year will be the first one since we started the company in 1966 that the Nutcracker is lost. It will not arrive in Tulsa in December. And this is actually the title of one of the two pieces, The Lost Nutcracker by Luciano Cannito. And then Macong will do another piece, and the second company will also do a piece by a little piece in the middle of the two main company pieces to give a break to the main company. Now, as for the reason for having four pieces in a triple bill, with only three that are going to be performed in Studio K, well, the reason is very simple. If something happens to one of the pods, to one person in a pod, the entire pod is out.
Oh, so if somebody should contract COVID-19 or even be suspected of COVID-19 until you get tests done, that pod is out of commission.
Absolutely. But even if there is an injury in one of those pods, because obviously there are no understudies. When you have eight dancers in a pod, everybody's dancing. I mean, everybody's learning something else, but there is always the possibility that one injury to somebody that does a pas de deux means that the pas de deux in the ballet cannot be performed, and so for a few days that entire pod has to stay out of performing. And so Norbert de la Cruz is creating, has just finished creating a short piece. It's about 7 or 8 minutes too. That is going to be our jolly. Should something happen, that piece will replace the one that one of the pods is not able to perform.
And so that will only happen in case one of the other pieces can't be performed. So it's sort of like an on-deck performance.
Yes, I mean, we are going to give four performances to the second company because this year we really have a phenomenal second company. I mean, those young dancers are absolutely exceptional. And so we are planning to give them four performances, probably some of the matinees, the days that we have two performances to give a little break to the main company. And so they will get to perform it three or four times throughout the run, and then they will be on standby just in case one of the pods cannot perform for whichever reason, then they will come in.
Well, we're talking with Marcello Angelini. Tulsa Ballet will return to performance this weekend and running through November 22nd at their Studio K facility, which has been upgraded with new HVAC systems, and it's titled Creations Reimagined. I do have to ask you, this is you're doing this at a time when infection rates are as high as they've ever been in the state. It's really a point where, you know, who knows, if our trends continue, we may see lockdowns at some point. Do you feel confident that not only your dancers and staff, but the patrons coming in are going to be safe given the fact that infection rates are so high? I assume you talked with your infectious disease doctor. She feels like they can go ahead. These performances can go ahead.
You know, the thing is, if we want to be 100% safe and secure, then we should stay home. Because even going to the grocery shop or just putting gas in your car is dangerous right now. I think sitting one person for every 10 seats in the theater, asking everybody that comes to see the performances to wear a proper face mask, for the dancers, for them to wear face masks in rehearsals. And also, I mean, we were very clear, if we see a dancer engaging in any kind of activity that is dangerous, even outside the building, we are going to quarantine them. So we are working in pods, but it's really some sort of semi-bubbles that we have created. Is it 100% safe? Probably not. Nothing is absolutely safe right now except staying in your home. Is it as safe as going to the supermarket to buy groceries? Probably yes. And you know, this is really the best we can do. We do keep looking at the trends. We look at them daily. And if they keep growing and we keep getting so many new cases every day, we will have to reassess the entire situation. So the only thing I can say to everybody that is listening to your program is please wear face coverings wherever you go. Because right now, without a vaccine, this is the only thing we can do to slow down the spread of this terrible disease. No matter what we think, whether we believe in it or not, whether we believe that it's exaggerated or we believe that it's not very dangerous, whatever it is, at the end of the day, if the cases keep growing, the city will shut down again, we will shut down, and the economy will slow down again. At this point, all we can do is wear a face covering. And so if everybody were to do that, cases would start going down, we would do bigger performances, the economy would start running again, and life would be so much better.
Marcello, we wish you great success with the artistic side of the event as well as the safety side of the event when Tulsa Ballet goes back into action with Creations Reimagined. If people want information on how to see the live stream or, I guess, attend one of the performances, TulsaBallet.org has all the information. Marcello, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Rich. Thank you.
Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Creations Reimagined will be a hybrid in-person virtual performance. While the in-person part of the performances are sold out, there will be virtual performances live streamed on Friday, November 6th at 8 o'clock, Saturday, November 14th at 3 p.m., and Sunday, November 22nd at 5. For information on the production and tickets, visit TulsaBallet.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.